Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that book.
Welcome to 8-Bit Book Club, the only book club that makes you dumber. We are your lore lords. I am Brian Murphy, joined by my life/comedy partner, Emily Axford.
Dumber for the summer.
Yes.
I love it.
I panicked. We don't normally respond to that.
No,
do we?
You don't. My other life/comedy partner, Caldwell Tanner.
The more you morph.
Hey, very good.
That's all I got to say. The more you morph.
Yeah, we'll start calling you more you morph. And then, of course, our special guest this week, Jake Hurwitz. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to know my last name. My name is Jake, but I can't tell
just
you
Jake.
My last name.
Oh, very on brand, on topic.
He could be a Jake from your hometown.
I actually have some pointed questions about you sharing the name of the protagonist of this first-person narrative. So we'll get to that, Jake.
Tell you what, I was immediately on his side.
You were hooked. Yeah.
Yeah.
We read the first book in the Animorph series.
You can call a book an episode.
Yeah, it reads like a TV show in a good way.
It reads like, honestly, it reads like a movie. Yeah. I have a very specific idea of the creative vision with which this should be fulfilled.
Okay. Which is great because it's already been done. There is a Nickelodeon TV show.
There is a Nickelodeon TV show.
I guarantee they are not doing what I think it deserves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine not. I can't imagine the morphs look great. In 1996 or whatever.
I don't think the morphs are supposed to look great. I think the morphs are supposed to look janky and weird and upsetting.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, so you know what? Let's just jump right in, and I'll say that when I read this, I didn't realize this is a horror. It's a horror.
It's body
it's in
horror.
The horror genre.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that the interpretation it deserves is I think it deserves like a Stranger Things reboot.
Yes.
But with like early Peter Jackson, like special effects, prosthetics, like Peter Jackson, bad taste meets Stranger Things.
We have to fucking make this movie.
You want kid Andy Serkis to take the role, is what you're saying. You want like a kid Andy Serkis to be doing all of the animal morphs.
Young Serkis, yeah.
Young Serkis.
Yeah,
we need Young Serkis.
We're looking for a Young Serkis. So why don't we do a little bit of a plot overview to anybody who's not already an Anna Murph. Which is what we're calling the fans, of course. So we've got five 90s teens. We've got Jake, Rachel, Tobias, Cassie, and Marco. Basically, Jake's kind of just the regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel's like the cheerleader, who's also like the very type A one.
She's kind of not really the type A one. She's kind of like, they describe her as attractive, but she's kind of just like game for anything.
She's just cool. Rachel's down.
She's cool. Yeah.
She's cool. And if like, God, if she wasn't Jake's cousin, I really think that would work.
The description of her being as hot as she is.
Jake does describe.
Jake is like, okay, yeah, she's hot, but she's my cousin, so I actually don't notice
But also,
that.
He has a crush on the other girl, Cassie, but doesn't describe her as being hot, but really goes in on how hot his cousin is.
But that would be kind of like a preteen teenager way of reacting to a crush, right?
Is to be like, I guess I like Cassie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Cassie's hot. It's just like, I just like really want to be with her. I love her short hair. She's like from a sick family of vets and lives on a farm, and I'm in love with her.
And she's quiet. She says the right thing all the time.
She says the right thing all at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's just, I would say that the hottest thing is what's unobtainable to Jake.
Oh, so his cousin.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We're going there.
Jake went there.
Yeah, Jake went there. Jake in a weird went way. There.
I was merely reflecting.
On page two.
Tobias is the weird kid. He's like the nerd kid. He's the kid that most of us would be, which is that as soon as he finds out that there's aliens and stuff, he's just in. He's just like,
this is awesome.
I would say they all spend most of the book just digging their heels into their skepticism about the fact that there's an alien invasion happening.
Mm-hmm. Mostly Marco.
Marco
sucks.
All of them keep being like, it must have been a dream. I think it must have been a dream. I was just like, if this were me, they would be like, I'm an alien. I would be like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do this.
Yeah. Take me now.
There's a great scene after the Andalite crashes down where Tobias touches his head and shares Andalite alien memories. with this being that he met 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, he's a freaking weirdo, but we love him for it.
Tobias became the three-eyed raven.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Tobias is the brand that we deserved. Mm-hmm. Then we've got Cassie. Who's the, I guess, horse girl energy, sort of?
Love interest, horse girl.
Yeah.
She's an introvert.
An introvert.
Yeah. I don't know. It is fun to read her description through the first person POV of someone who's, in love with her.
Yeah.
Because it's just, everything she does, he's like, Cassie, everything she says is right. She says the right thing at the right time all the time.
She's brave and cool.
Yeah.
I feel like this is already an inversion of the horse girl trope, though, which I like, because Cassie is absolutely a horse girl, but she's also just a biologist and a veterinarian and also lives on a farm.
I don't think she's a veterinarian.
Or her mom is a veterinarian.
Yeah, yeah,
her
dad? Yeah.
One of them's a veterinarian.
I think both of them are.
She's in eighth grade, so I don't think she's a veterinarian.
Yeah.
I don't think she is. I can't say for sure.
I don't know what her job is, but it might be eighth grade student.
We might have to wait till Cassie's book to find out if she has a full-time job, but I don't think she does.
Wait, they all get their own book?
Yeah. They all get a million books.
This is what I learned after when I was looking at the Wikipedia that made me amped. Because a lot of things kind of Tobias getting touched by the Andalite and getting the memories. Yeah. Tobias mentions that, well, you didn't fucking tell me about it. But now I'm like, oh, in Tobias's book, I bet we are going to see that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't go replay the same stuff over and over again, but you will see his POV.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. That was just bad writing.
But Jake, you could write that.
Yeah,
you could write that story.
All right, we haven't gotten through all the kids. So then there's Marco. Marco's the fucking worst.
Marco is a huge turd. Except he has one of the a real crazy backstory that they just drop in there.
Oh yeah, his mom died.
That his mom drowned.
Yeah.
No. Very specifically, it's Marco does not buy into this, does not want to morph, thinks that they need to stay out of all this. And the reason is that he's my mom just died and I'm all my dad has. And then it's his mom drowned in a lake, leaving no body.
Well, she's going to come back later as a yerk. That's going to happen.
You know she's freaking yerk.
Yeah, that's why they're setting it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Interesting.
I have to tell you what I thought was going to happen. I thought that they're setting up a detective mystery for them to turn into dogs and go sniff out who...
That might happen in addition.
This is very yerk forward series. Yep,
that did not register. I just thought that was a tragic backstory.
Murph, you read the books, though, so you knew this was happening.
I don't know for a fact what happened to Marco's mom. I don't remember how far I read. We can actually, over on our Patreon, I think we'll do a little wiki wander for Animorphs, and we'll dig into all the lore.
I'll stay silent until then.
Yeah, perhaps you know. But I assume something happened to her, because why would they introduce her?
I kind of prefer it just as a backstory, just because it's so brutal to be like, his mom died, she drowned.
She drowned.
She left no body, by the way.
Yeah,
that's why I don't want to become a gorilla.
Then they talk about what happened to Marco's dad, and he's like, he watches TV with the sound off, and it's it's so fucking true. tragic and specific.
Yo, some of the description in this are like haunting. It is strangely well written.
Tobias's life is like he never knew his father and his mother just left him, and he's going back and forth between an aunt's house and an uncle's house, both of whom hate each other and don't like him.
They really established how much no one gives a shit about Tobias, which makes something that happens later. Except for Rachel likes Tobias, but they make it so that a thing that happens later isn't as sad, which is
airtight,
kind of fucked up. But anyway, Marco sucks ass because Marco is all of the things that are hard to read about this book, which is all the rad 90s teens of like somebody must say we're gonna be lunch like 10 times. Like that 90s teen, like runaway, like we're gonna that thing's gonna eat us for lunch.
Yeah, he's just like sarcasm incarnate.
Yeah, PG sarcasm is just never good.
Yeah.
And this is a children's book, so I'm not faulting the author. I'm just saying I fucking hate Marco.
Yeah. It's just Marco represents a time past, a certain type of child that might still exist, but certainly existed in the 90s.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, that this entire group of kids, of the five of them, about four of them basically are in a construction site, get visited by an alien who says, please take on my cause. Here's powers to turn into animals. And four out of the five of them are like, I don't know. We're just kids. Maybe we should take this to an adult.
We have to tell the government.
Someone said they should be telling the government.
I think this is, it's beautiful because I think it is just, it's definitely about kids growing up and learning who you can and can't trust. Because I feel like if I was 12 and an alien crashed, I would probably want to tell my dad. I would absolutely want to tell my dad.
No way. I would definitely just be like, cool, this is my mission. I'm an alien now too.
As soon as the alien said I couldn't trust anyone, I'd be like, I agree.
My dad's a fucking yerk. Even if he's not, he's a jerk.
Yerks everywhere. Oh, no, actually, your dad is not a yerk. Nope, he's a yerk.
He's a freaking yerk.
He's a yerk.
Yeah, he wouldn't buy me an ATV. He's absolutely a yerk.
Let's do a real quick little plot rundown. So basically, all the kids are at the mall. Jake is our protagonist for this.
The 90s book. Settings in this are strong.
Yeah.
We've got malls. We've got construction sites. We've got construction sites that were supposed to be malls.
Right. Yeah. So they leave the mall and are walking home through a construction site when an alien spaceship crashes and this mortally wounded... This feels like it would be the beginning to like an episode of South Park or something, because it's just like this insane thing to put on a bunch of teenagers. Like this alien
just show up and be like, with my dying gasp, I ask the last people that I see to carry the baton of my cause.
Quick, go into my room and get my cube.
Yeah. So they have to get this andalite. The alien is called an andalite, which is basically like a blue centaur with a bunch of eyes. So this
eyes on the horns too,
and a scorpion tail. It's rad, and they can morph also. So they freaking rule. So this andalite is wounded, gets out of the spaceship, and is just instantly like, ah, dumbass teenagers, do not fear. I will help you. But there are space slugs coming. They're called yerks. They come to different worlds, and they go into your head, and anyone here could be being controlled by a space slug. They've already got thousands of your people under control. You can't trust anyone.
Also, they have no mouth, so this is all communicated telepathically.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can telepathically hear him
screaming. So, yes, and they feel it sometimes.
And they do.
Yeah, they feel his sadness.
Tobias, like, loves the freaking andalite.
Can I take a pause just to share this andalite's name? Because it also rules. All the alien names in this book fucking rock. Prince Elfangor Serenial Shamtul. Yeah.
I wrote that down too.
Good
That's
ass name.
Definitely coming up in the Wiki Wander. I wrote a list of words that we need to Wiki Wander.
So the prince is dying, and they're like, we're just some teens. We're going to be lunch if we try to fight these slugs. And he's like, don't worry. Go in the spaceship and get my cube, and then you can morph just like us. And they go in and they get the freaking cube. They touch the cube, and then the yerks show up.
Five sides, five teens.
Five sides for five teens.
It was fated.
It was fated. And then
this
spaceship with a bunch of yerks come down. The yerks are controlling different alien species that they've taken over. One of them is the Hork-Bajir. Is that how you say that?
Hork-Bajir, yeah. I'm a major hork head. I fucking love the Hork-Bajir.
No one's a fan of the taxon? No one likes the taxon?
The taxons were like millipede aliens, and the Hork-Bajir are like giant. They have just like claws everywhere, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, they're dino blade snakes.
I was looking through the second edition Spelljammer recently, and mm-hmm. I like that this idea of aliens is a little reminiscent of that idea, because it's all like basically like space bugs and space chimera and
yeah.
stuff like that.
So the Hork-Bajir yeah. are like a space bug made of knives, and there's it's really cool because the Andalite's like, you should pity them. They are a peaceful people, even though they look scary, and it's just a bug made of knives.
It is funny design to be like, and thus emerged a space insect with knives for fingers. And it's like, they are the peaceful people. They are merely sous chefs.
Yeah, they look fearsome, but they are gentle. But the millipedes, those ones look fucked up, and they are. Those guys yeah. are actually assholes.
Yeah, the centipede dudes are bad, for real.
Yeah, they're complicit.
Well, Taxons did it voluntarily. They were like, right. yeah, you're...
Yeah.
Put it, go in my brain, we are yeah. on your side, but the Hork-Bajir, they're like imprisoned.
They're fighting.
The Taxons have an alliance with the Yerks. The Hork-Bajir were taken over by the Yerks. Uh-huh. So basically we see the Yerks come down, they've got their host bodies because they're all slugs, and then the head one is called Visser III, who is an Andalite.
Great name.
With a worm in Whoa! His brain. And we see Visser III kills the prince mm-hmm. Andalite, who was dying.
By eating him.
I know. That's when I was yeah. like, I was sitting there because they're also spending so much time describing first person POV, Jake's fear, right? Like Jake is terrified the whole time, and they're really going out of their way to be like, my muscles clench with fear. Mm-hmm. My palms sweat. The hair stands on, you know, like really describing it. And then as soon as the bad guy ate our good guy launching the story character, I was like, this is a horror. That's yeah. when I thought that.
I really like that there's like so much lines and attention given to Prince Elfangor to be like this like calming presence. There's like a moment when he like turns to them and says like, courage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
yeah. And then he gives them the last of his courage.
That's why they fight for him. That's why Tobias is so on his side. And that's why yeah. I am as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is why I'll never live up to my full potentials, because I don't have a space alien deer centaur looking out for me and giving me.
We would all die for the space alien deer centaur. Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely die by immediately getting the ability to turn into an animal and then just going to the biggest animal and just
getting slashed.
Getting eaten.
Oh. Just getting in a tiger habitat and getting attacked.
Well, no better way to learn than by going to the chimpanzee cage.
Oh, it ripped my face off.
Oh no, they ganged up on me. They truly are a social creature when it comes to attacking me.
It's really true. There's like a split second before you touch it and put it in that trance yeah. that it goes in when you collect its DNA, where it could really just fuck you up. These kids are yeah. really yeah. lucky.
So they have to run away because I think Jake like yells or something when the Andalite gets killed.
He just can't contain yeah. himself.
He's so pissed.
He's so mad.
So Jake, at this point, Jake Hurwitz,
yeah.
are you reading this? Are you picturing a young version of yourself?
Great question. I wasn't. It really only happened when I first read Jake. I was like, okay. I'm so yeah. excited and I'm happy.
Holy shit. Then,
as it went on, I was, you know, probably around the time when he started describing how hot his
how
cousin
was,
I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, I can't relate to this.
You know, I'm out.
Jake, yeah, this guy's not me.
They describe Jake's mom as being a writer
oh,
later
that's
on.
Right.
Is this based on you,
Holy
Jake?
Shit.
Yes.
Did this happen? Is this truth? Is this history?
Does your mom not like TV because she's a writer? Because that was her justification for not liking TV.
Yeah. No, my mom is a writer, but she loves TV. Yeah. No, she... Yeah.
Wow, that sounded like a lie, Jake.
Yeah, he could have been lying.
No, she loves TV.
Why did that sound hollow?
I can't think of a show she likes, but I'm sure she watches it.
This guy can morph right now.
Morph. Turn into a lizard.
Let me morph watch a 3-minute morph transformation.
That was the fucking craziest thing to me, is that morphing took several minutes.
Did it take minutes?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yes. Literally, they described it multiple times as taking several minutes.
I'm going to read a passage of Tobias morphing from bird to human, and it is grotesque.
Yes,
and
please.
Then they end it with, and it took 3 minutes.
Oh God.
Let me tell you something. It is beyond weird watching feathers turn into skin. The brown feathers ran together and merged and turned pink. It was like the feathers were melting, like they had turned into wax and were being heated up. The beak disappeared quickly and lips grew out of it. The talons split into five and became toes. Halfway through the process of changing, Tobias was a lump, half pink, half brown, with feather-like patterns still visible on his back and chest. His face was small and mostly human, except he still had those sharp, alert hawk's eyes, two tiny, shriveled arms protruding from the front of his chest with fingers like a baby's.
Oh.
All in all, it was a pretty disgusting sight.
You just turn around.
What would you do if you were on the subway and someone started morphing into a bird?
And they were like, sorry.
It's so weird to give someone the power and make it ugly. It's like you can turn into any animal, but like the trade-off is that it takes you
10
minutes and you scream the entire time.
This entire book series is a would you rather.
It's so funny to me because they could have made this rad, especially because this is like the 90s, but no, they were like, morphing could be like a cool, like Superman real, like, or like, you know, do it quickly, but no, it's long, weird, uncomfortable, itchy.
Yeah.
Your bones feel like Novocaine.
It's cool that it is fucked up.
Yeah. No, I love it. That's what
it's like you're taking a huge shit. It's like you're trying to get it out.
It makes more sense why these rad 90s teens aren't excited to be animorphs when they're seeing Tobias' weird little shriveled face as a hawk.
Tobias is a freak for it, though.
He loves
Tobias
it. Right
Tobias
doesn't
mind this at all. Tobias loves it. Well, I think that there is. Also, though, you see it. You see the way that, because they take on, when they morph into the animals, they take on a bit of the animal's sort of essence.
Yeah.
See at one point when Jake was dealing with something emotional, he was retreating into like the
his
hopeful,
dog brain.
Happy dog consciousness.
Yeah.
So morphing does have a narcotic effect, I think.
Right. So basically,
would that I could morph.
They have to run away from this construction
site.
There's a bunch of people chasing them. They basically recognize a bunch of people from town and everything. So they learn that this Yerk problem is, very much around, that there's all these humans. After the next day, there's all that.
Then they go to bed and Jake pretends that it never happened. I feel like the level of appreciation they all had for the Andalite, juxtaposed with every single one except Tobias pretending the next day that it didn't happen, is so fucked.
Yeah.
It's like, so crazy.
Jake is like, oh, I love the Andalite, but that was a dream. Okay. Back to school.
Guess I'll play Sega.
Thank God that was a dream because I have school to go to.
Yeah. You just learned about a fucking insane war for your planet. You fell in love with an alien and now you're just pretending it didn't happen.
I just think that like they're overcome with like the existential dread of it all, and like it's a lot of pressure for like a 12-year-old kid. So I can sympathize a little bit. I hate that I'm the Marco in this situation, but I guess I am. I guess I'm the Marco.
Yeah, you're being a real freaking Marco. Because I think that kids wouldn't even they would just be like, sick, I could be a fucking cat.
Yeah, I think that, I feel like when I was a kid, the idea of like, of understanding gravity was not as powerful as the desire for imagination and the desire to be, and the like, belief that I really was an alien.
Yeah, thinking I had magic powers would definitely overcome any kind of like, all I was fucking looking for was an excuse to believe I have magic powers.
Right.
Yeah.
All a single push.
All I was looking for was an escape. You know?
It's a little bit of that X-Men thing, right? Where it's like, you know, a character being like, everyone hates me because I can fly. My life's so sad because I can fly. Everyone hates me.
I can't. I'll never find love.
I'll never find love because I can fly.
You don't get how hard it is for me.
No, you're great. That X-Men has a beak. He's just got a beak and they call him Beak.
Yeah.
You're fine.
That's
true. You understand. When I fly, I can't take someone I love up there with me.
There's definitely some X-Men that like, yeah, they might have like a beak or something. And that's going to be tough going to high school with a beak. But like,
shout out to Beak.
Yeah. Is Beak a real X-Men?
Beak's a real X-Men.
Really?
Good for Beak.
Yeah. He gets married to the X-Men who has fly wings. I can't remember her name though. And they have a bunch of beaky fly babies in the latest run.
So they make birds.
They do make
they
birds.
They invent birds.
Yeah. It works out for Beak.
Can I ask though, like Beak, on their own, what function does that serve in
What's
the
Beak's
term?
Power besides What's having Beak's not power? A mouse?
Does Beak have wings?
It's all contained in the name. It's all contained in the name. Beak does not have wings. Beak has kind of like chicken feet for hands.
Okay, so what's the what I'm trying to understand is, if you're assembling a team,
probably a super strong beak, I would assume.
Yeah.
So is it like the beak is a weapon, the beak can pick locks, do they speak bird?
It's just a good beak. It's just like, as far as beaks go, it's a pretty swell beak. I think Beak is at Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, mostly because he had nowhere else to go, because I think Beak is from like the Midwest, and nobody was really keen on the beak. Just seeing a chicken man around.
Okay.
They weren't keen on the beak.
Interesting.
So when they all wake up the next day and they're all like, that was just a dream. We don't have superpowers.
My man Marco stands so real.
At a certain point, Tobias comes to visit Jake, and Jake believes Tobias. He's like, yes, we saw the aliens. Yes, we saw the Yerks. But no, you can't turn into an animal. You're lying if you're telling me that you became a hawk today.
And then we get the best line in the entire book, which is Tobias saying to Jake, I became Dude.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, his cat's name is Dude. Yeah.
His cat's name is Dude. And he goes into Jake's room and says, I became Dude.
The animal names in this are pretty intense. Like, there's Dude the cat.
Yeah, I like it.
Homer the dog.
Mm. Yeah, which,
right. Homer makes sense because it's like this. Oh, Jake was definitely obsessed with the Simpsons.
I see. I was thinking Homer like the
Odyssey.
Poet.
Yeah. No.
From the Odyssey. Yeah. No,
yeah,
Bart's dad.
Absolutely Bart's dad. Talking
Never
about
mind.
It.
I was like, wow, they really swung in two directions, but now I see more of a vibe.
We'll just fast track through the rest of this. So they basically, now they know that there's a bunch of local people that are Yerks. They finally believe that they can morph. They find out that Jake's brother is probably a Yerk because he's acting weird.
Not Tom.
Tom.
And Tobias reveals the ultimate goal, which is that it is Tobias received from the Andalites. Prince
Elfangor. Serenial
Thank you so much. I was trying to suss out.
Rest in peace.
Tobias receives the very important information, which is that the Yerks have to, like, every couple days enter a pool and just, like,
just swim around.
Just swim around.
Little
a
worms,
pool
yeah.
of slugs.
There's another logistic around morphing, which is you can only morph for two hours. And if you
right, or else you get stuck.
You are stuck as the animal that you morphed into.
Yeah.
Which is very fun because it suggests to me that, like, the Andalite has this very cool technology, but it is still very much in the beta phase.
Yeah.
He just gave it to a bunch of kids
it's
to test.
It's also fun, too, because I'm pretty sure
my cube is dangerous, but touch my cube.
Please touch my cube and sign this waiver.
Oh, no. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they have the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
I just realized it's a cube, but it was five-sided. I don't know enough about geometry. Is that a normal thing?
No, it's six-sided. I think like the andelite was touching the six-sided.
Okay, that makes sense. I was trying to picture a five-sided cube.
I don't know that the cube itself had powers. I think the cube transmitted the powers.
Oh, okay. Exactly. So it's like a power PA.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now they got to find this Yerk pool where the worms swim.
Yep.
So they go to the zoo.
So they can blow it up. I'm pretty sure Tobias said we need to find the pool and
find
blow it up.
Blow it up, or else we're going to be lunch. They go to the zoo to acquire some animal DNA of badass animals.
Actually, wait a second, Murph. Literally, it begins with the bad guy eating the good guy.
Yeah.
So Marco being like, we're going to be lunch is actually quite a legitimate fear.
Oh, I know. Oh, he's absolutely right. It's just, he just says stuff like that a lot. We're going to be lunch. They go to the zoo to acquire DNA of badass animals. There's some hijinks there. They like get chased by security guards and whatnot.
Oh, there's a golf cart chase.
There's a golf cart chase.
Yeah, it's such amazing middle school wish fulfillment because they have a golf cart chase.
Yeah, there's a lot of like high school bait. Yeah.
They jump into a golf cart to turn the, like, as anyone that's driven a golf cart knows how slow they go. Someone could definitely fucking outrun them.
Oh, like, really? I've never driven a golf cart before.
There's like two security guards running full speed at them. They jump in. It's like, do you have the key? Oh, yeah. Gas. And it's like.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense because they were really recklessly driving in that golf cart. And I was picturing that thing going at 60.
Going like 90.
No, I think they go like 15 miles per hour max.
Holy shit.
Really?
Marco got whiplash and died.
That's what, because like they literally crash into the wall, and I was like,
"Oh my god!" So they have a rad '90s escape, and then of course the Yerk pool is under the high school, and the mean assistant principal is a Yerk, which is great. For
my assistant principal is a Yerk.
Perfect kids book stuff.
Yeah. I like to think that the principal isn't a Yerk and they're like desperately trying to get him. They're like, he's elusive.
I think the principal isn't a Yerk, I would imagine. Why would you need the vice principal and the principal?
Mm.
Yeah.
You don't need all that heat. You don't need all that heat.
That's true.
So basically, they know the Yerk pool's under the high school. They've got all these badass animals now. But Cassie gets captured and is being brought down to the Yerk pool.
Mm-hmm.
But they are able to save her using the badass morphs. They go underground under the high school.
Which is a really fun... The perverse person who morphs in the Let's Reclaim Cassie is Rachel. And when they were at the zoo, Rachel was like, oh, I love dolphins. And everyone's like, you can't be a dolphin. And then when she morphs, she turns into an elephant.
Yeah. It's so like, badass.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was
Rachel
great.
Rules, dude.
Rachel rules.
Yeah, Rachel does rule.
And she was the only one who loved Tobias.
I do like that. Yeah. There's that moment where like Tobias in hawk form like lands on Rachel's shoulder and everyone's kind of like, what's going on between Tobias
and
Rachel?
Jake was a little jealous. I don't know if you guys sensed that. He's like, I didn't get why she nestled his head. That was
speaking
weird.
In the third person.
That was weird. Why is someone dating my cousin?
Only I should date my cousin.
Why would anyone date my cousin? I'm not saying I should, but why would anyone? Just so jealous. Should we do Animorph spoilers? I've got some.
No, Murph. We haven't revealed the ending, the tragic ending.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
So tragic.
So then basically they save Cassie and then at the very end, you totally forgot the sickest fucking moment.
Okay.
Which is they save Cassie and then this main bad guy shows up and morphs into his final form and he says,
I acquired this body on the fourth moon of the second planet of a dying star.
So sad.
And then turns into an eight-legged, eight-headed creature that throws fireballs at them. And I was like, it's I need to know more about this fourth moon of the second planet of a dying star.
Yeah, that's sick.
Visser 3 is such a perfect like 80s villain because he like ends that line by saying, it. He's like always like, he's always making little puns to himself and like really kind of like just bringing the cheesiness up despite the fact that everything is so terrifying.
Everyone has to have a little bit of 90s attitude.
And then, but then actually, so then they like basically escape this guy. So in this book, they don't even destroy the pool. They basically save Cassie.
Yeah.
And then escape this guy. But Tobias stayed as a hawk for 2 hours, and it ends with Tobias landing on Jake's windowsill and Jake being like, come on, man. Come on, man. Morph out, dude. Quit messing around,
Tobias.
Turn into a little baby bird guy. Do it.
Please.
I want to see your little baby toe claws. Do it.
Please.
Make your feathers skin. I want to see your skin feathers.
Please. One more time.
Tobias gets stuck as a hawk. They tease it the whole time because like Tobias keeps fucking around.
You know it's gonna happen.
That little nerd wanted to be a bird the whole time.
He did it on purpose. He did it on purpose.
I think I agree that he did it on purpose. I thought it was like a little bit. I definitely was like, I don't. He
this
wanted.
Is self-destructive,
he kept being like,
Tobias.
I love being a
Tobias
hawk.
He said I had to hide in the cave for too long. It's like that cave was described as being the size of a stadium,
cavernous.
Like, you can hide as a guy.
He wasn't that afraid. He's just like, you know what? To be safe, let me stay as a bird forever.
Yeah.
Even it's when they like went to the zoo to like find better animals because they were basically like, okay, like we can't do this final thing as like dogs and cats. We got to morph and we got to go to the zoo.
Tigers, gorillas, etc.
Tigers, gorillas, elephants. Uh-huh. And Tobias is like, no, I'm good.
All I need is
actually
hawk.
Really am, I'm really into the hawk thing.
All
I'm,
I need is hawk and dude.
One of Tobias's last lines is, I guess this is me from now on.
He was just like, yes.
God. Yes, I'm a bird.
I've definitely said this is me now when I got it like buy a new hat.
This is me now. Von Dutch
I guess
hat.
This is me now.
Cocked sideways.
We're all chasing that red-tailed hawk.
We talked about it earlier, but they really set it up that like no one was gonna look for Tobias when he was a bird.
Yeah.
Like they're really just like no one really cared of no one gave a shit about Tobias at all.
Except Rachel.
Well, she cares about him, but she's an animorph. She will know his secret.
But don't you doesn't it make you wonder though, like what is the I really want Rachel or Tobias's story to be them realizing that they love each other, but now Tobias is stuck as a hawk.
Yeah.
Will Rachel learn how to animorph into hawks to have jaunts with Tobias?
Ooh.
So they can do beaky kisses, yeah.
Do you want to know the answer?
I think I don't want to know the answer unless it comes up in the Wiki Wander.
Okay.
I want to finish the series, so I really hope people enjoy this episode. I want to keep it going.
It's at least 26.
Is it only 26? Okay.
At least 26, and I know this.
That's not bad.
Well, I know this because if you look in the back, there's a little page where you can order all the books from your Scholastic Ink provider.
Oh, I do remember that.
That's awesome. We should get some cool erasers, too.
Yeah, we can get the, do you think they still sell the 1999 Animorphs wall calendar?
Whoa.
Should we get one for each of us?
You know, it's going to come back around, right, at some point. Don't years sometimes end up lining up with each other?
I don't think it's going to be 1999 again unless, like, there's another messiah event or some sort of, like, cat catastrophe.
She means the days.
Yeah, that's what I meant the days.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right on that one.
I have no clue. But hey, we've got existential crises on the brain from Animorphs.
Absolutely.
I think there's a really funny part in it where Marco actually is the one who suggests the name Animorphs. And then Jake is like, Animorphs, I said. It was okay.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Your titular moment, you're going to actively have your first person
narrator. It's the 90s.
Be underwhelmed.
It sounded okay.
Yeah. This was like, you know, the same time that they made the X-Men movie and they made them all wear leather because they were like, psh, spandex on a superhero?
No way.
Everyone was so ashamed of everything about themselves in the 90s.
Yeah. Everyone has to be a badass.
At one point, though, they did go to that, what was it called? The Sharing, which is like the cult that basically...
The Sharing was such a funny name for the cult.
It was a really good name for it. Yeah.
I thought it was a good name and also really creepy because basically like Tom was part of it and this is like how they like recruit
Jake's
people
brother.
To become brain slugs, and they basically recruit people by throwing a beachside barbecue and volleyball party.
It's such good, clean fun to get the worms in your brain.
That was such a fun
moment.
You just
go and you have good, clean fun.
And it worked on all the kids. All the kids were like, you know what? We were suspicious before, but today's been really nice.
Yeah, Marco went so hard on Jake. Marco was like, yeah, your brother is a fucking yerk, dude. And then they go to this Sharing. They like... play frisbee, they have a bonfire, they have a barbecue, and Marco is like, I was totally wrong. These guys are awesome.
Yeah, just so tricked by the good, clean fun.
I just went swimming, and now I'm fine.
There's a great moment where Tom's like, yeah, we play beach volleyball at night, but it's like so funny because like we can barely see the ball. It's hilarious, dude. It all sounds like so fake. It's just like everyone trying so hard to cover up the fact that they are an alien organization.
Because it's also, I mean, obviously anytime an adult is writing I don't fault the author at all. Anytime an adult is writing a story
it's so accurate.
For kids, they're not going to have teenagers do what teenagers actually do, which is like, would just be, Marco would just throw a rock through a window and everyone else would, and then they don't go drink in the woods and be morons. But in this book, it's like, you know what's the most fun thing I could think of doing? Eating barbecue with my friends.
Yeah. And the most dangerous thing I do is trespass a little bit on an old construction site.
Yeah.
I wonder if kids still trespass on construction sites, though, because I definitely used to do that.
Yeah,
I did that in my neighborhood, too.
I have to hope.
Yeah.
You got to.
It was always a really fun and edgy feeling.
Yeah.
Although, I know we live in L.A. where, like, I don't know, there's just traffic all the time. So I, like, literally never see a kid on a bike.
That's true.
Never once.
The one spoiler I would ask for is, so they never turn into dogs and use their sense of smell to be detectives?
I think they sort of do. I don't think specifically for Marco's mom.
But specifically for Marco's mom. Is there like a Spider-Man? I'm almost picturing like a Spider-Man version, but a detective and a dog instead of a teenager and a spider. Is there like a superhero that is that? Like a detective.
What do you think Spider-Man is about?
Spider-Man is about a teenager who gets spliced with spider DNA. I don't know any of this. Spliced with spider DNA and then starts exhibiting some of the spider traits. I'm picturing a detective who gets their DNA spliced with a dog so that they have a really good sense of smell.
I'm back on board. I thought you thought that Spider-Man was about a guy and a spider who were friends. Which would be pretty good.
That's a real Spider-Man.
That would be so hard to fill.
The spider's not cooperating.
What do you think we should do, Richard? That's the spider's name.
Okay, I stepped on the spider.
We need a new Richard.
It's fine. We have three spiders. We're down to two. You're allowed one more mishap.
Oh no, the bad guys are getting away. Spin a web, Richard. Spin a web.
Upside down.
The spider fell asleep.
Hang on. I'll be like Charlotte's Web, except they solve mysteries. That's pretty good, actually. I think we're onto something here. But yeah, I can't remember. I've definitely read most of these books. And part of me thinks, we'll have to go over this in the Wiki Wander. I do think they might go to the quarry at some point.
Where Marco's mom
I think,
you know, supposedly is deceased.
Caldwell, I think now I remember what Marco's mom is. And this is terrible. This is terrible audio because I'm just looking at you knowingly.
Wow.
But I can't say anything.
Is she a Hork-Bajir?
No.
Is she a Traxxon?
No.
She's not a taxon. Okay.
Is she in the Sharing?
Sort of.
Is she a gaff rash? That's a word I wrote down.
A gaff rash?
G-H-A-F-R-A-S-H. It was never described.
I don't know.
I think that might be... Can we go over all of the great words in this, by the way?
Do you have a list?
I do have a list of things that I want to look up on the Wiki Wander.
Okay.
Yerks, Andalites, Bug Fighters, Z-Space, Blade Ship, Taxon, Visser 3, Antirian Bogmorph, Gaffrash, Prince Elfinger, Xerinsal, Shamtul, and Kadrona Rays.
Kendrona Rays, yeah. I just love that they have to go into a hot tub every 3 days.
Just like, swim honestly, around as a freaking worm.
It sounds like a pretty good life.
Right? I guess.
Because they
it.
Need those worm nutrients. They need to, and it was a silvery pool. It seems kind of fun to just be a wet little worm wiggling around in there.
Yeah, if it weren't so dangerous for humans.
Dude, you would be one of the voluntary, you would volunteer yourself for a yerk. There were people that did that. There were people that were like, I don't want to be in control of my life anymore.
I don't want to be a dude anymore. I just want to be, I want to have a freaking wet, I want to be a wet worm in my ear.
And how different is that than what Tobias did, which is surrender himself to becoming a hawk?
Right.
What happened to the hawk that Tobias became?
It's still there.
Yeah, he just.
They're just sharing
they're
a body
now? They're
sharing
the
now?
DNA.
Yeah, they share
oh,
those.
Oh, gotcha.
They're like twins.
Like twins. Okay, so he has a, oh, that's going to be really fun. He has someone to talk to then when Rachel becomes a Red Hawk and they start sort of seeing each other.
Start a family.
Here's how dumb I was as like a 9-year-old or whenever I read this book the first time. I remember being like kind of shocked and like shook when Tobias stayed as a bird. But when I read it this time,
that coming.
When I read it this time, I was like,
effective.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this, this
can, like as soon as he did the first time, as soon as he came back, he was like, it was amazing. I'm like, this guy's going to become a fucking bird.
It's just like, I love it. I love being a bird.
Bird even though it's telegraphed, though, that scene of him being like, just come on, Tobias, morph back.
Turn into a little baby.
Morph back.
Please. Become a guy. Also because him and Jake weren't even that good of friends. It was basically just Tobias got picked on at school and Jake one time was like, hey guys, knock it off. And Tobias started following him around after that.
Yeah.
Which is like a very specific type of kid, which like I instantly pictured him.
Yeah.
It's true. I think that Jake and Tobias are better friends now that Tobias is a hawk.
Definitely, and Marco was such a shithead the entire time that I think I would also have gotten closer to Tobias. Because Tobias was cool. Tobias was actually, I think they said that Jake was the leader several times, even though he never did anything leader-esque.
Yes!
But I think Tobias was the real, Tobias from the get-go was like, we are fighting for the Andalites. I don't care what you guys do. I'm on his side. And everyone followed Tobias, actually.
Yeah, and Rachel was pretty much like, I'm with Tobias.
Yeah.
Tobias and Rachel are the only ones that made up their minds.
That's true.
I think they're the best ones.
Yeah, I agree.
Actually, Cassie's great, too. Yeah. Cassie's reveal of like when they basically like all met back up the next day and were like, I don't think it's a dream, guys. And then it was just like they looked up and then like run, like galloping down the hill was a was a horse. And they're like, it's Cassie. And then she morphs into like a latex suit and she's like, I found a way to keep my clothes on when I morph.
And Marco never figured it out and never will have to now.
Yeah, because they get into it that like Cassie is like a good morpher.
She's, really
she's like
good.
An artistic morpher, which is very fun. But then also there's a really funny scene after that where they have to hide her morph from the cops.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's just like turning back into a horse, I think. She was halfway in a morph.
Yeah.
Which is why it's yet another great call that morphing takes a while.
It was sick when they were making their escape and she was like at the pool. They're about to put a yerk in her brain. She broke free, is running towards the escape, and then becomes a horse, and two people ride her to safety. That was a sick Cassie moment.
Which does actually kind of break the 3-minute, it takes 3 minutes to morph rule, but you know.
Yeah, well, she's good at
it. I think that Cassie's so good at
it. Yeah, it might have taken 3 minutes for Tobias and his weird baby bird morph. Because he was milking it. That sick fuck loves being a bird.
Yeah. He likes that in between.
You know what I mean? He's like, let me have feathers a little longer.
It is true that like the entire time they show you how long and disgusting the morphs are. And you're like, gosh, I hate, like, this is really cool. I want to be a bird. But like, is it worth it? And then Tobias gets stuck and you're like, oh, the dangers of morphing. So I feel like we are going to be going to school to school with a PSA about the dangers of morphing. An endangered prince from an alien race gives you a cube, just know that 2 hours in the morph, you got to be careful, kids.
And I am happy to just, I'm going to come onto this little show that Caldwell's taking on the road, and I'm just going to read that passage of Tobias morphing from a human into a bird.
Does that sound fun to
I'm
gonna
you? I'm going to open and close every single assembly with that.
6 sides on a cube, 2 hours in a morph. Remember those numbers, kids.
If you think you can handle that, cut through the construction site on your way home.
Now, here to drive the point home your friend and mine, it's Tobias the Hawk Kid.
I was bad at being a kid, but I'm a hawk now.
I love being a hawk. Tobias, shut up.
It'd be so easy to fake it and just grab a random hawk. Tobias wouldn't have to be
this
there.
This is Tobias the Hawk Boy. He could talk in your head if you were also an Animorph, but you're not.
That's just how it works.
Yeah. God, they really made it so easy to pretend.
Talk to your kid about morphing today.
Oh, my goodness. You guys want to do, I guess we can kind of combine it, but book club with like a short rest type thing and do roses and thorns.
Oh, no, we do A to J, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll do A to J. Well,
how about Vissers and Kissers?
Oh, Vissers and Kissers is good, though.
Vissers and Kissers? Okay, Vissers,
I
mean, are bad.
I do have Vissers and Kissers.
Yeah, okay. Let me hear it. Let me hear it.
My only note, and I actually really enjoyed the book. Okay, I truly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And as I read it on my flight, and as I was on my way home, I was like thinking about how I could read the next one. So I feel like I'm three times as old as the age of someone that's supposed to be into this book, but I am. I found it to be at times a little repetitive in the, this was a dream, only I wish it was a dream because it was real, but it seemed like a nightmare. And like, and then every single person had that exact same thing. So like Jake realizes it's real. And Tobias is like, I can morph. And he's like, no, you can't. Then he watches it. And then he's like, Jake, you can morph. He's like, no, I can't. No. And then he does it. Then they go to the farm. He's like, and Marco's like, I can't morph. You guys are crazy. It's like, there's so many.
Surely there's two people who are a little excited to have powers.
I think that like kids are like skeptical preteens is just unbelievable to me. I'm skeptical about that.
Let's face it. Kids want to morph.
Or at least give them different POVs. Everyone's POV was like, yeah, right. Everyone said, yeah, right. It's like, just change it up. They're all different people.
So that's going to knock this down from a perfect score for
you? Even the narrative tone of the book was like, here's a crazy story. You're probably not going to believe it. Like the whole time. It was just like clipped sentences being like, this is really dangerous stuff. Do you think you can handle it?
Yeah. It was so casual.
I feel like that was kind of just like the vibe of like media from that era, though, was like just kids being like, no one's going to believe us. We're kids.
Yeah, but they didn't even believe each other.
But they didn't believe each other. Yeah.
Believe each other.
I think my viscer is that I kind of wish that they said, I was like, of course I want the assistant principal to be a Yerk, but set him up. You could have
they kind of didn't make him that bad a guy up top.
I wanted one scene with him being like a jerk.
They should have been like, Jake, get to detention. Yeah.
They just thought that saying vice principal was like enough.
It was enough.
Like no one had a vice principal that they liked. So
which is such a cartoon and movie thing. Like, did you actually hate your principal when you went to school?
Our school didn't have a vice principal. We just had a principal.
Yeah, I don't think that we had a vice principal.
I think we had a vice principal and he was fine. I didn't have a problem.
My cousin is a principal and he's like one of the best guys I know and cares so much about the school.
If you were an Animorph, would you like him though?
Probably not.
If you were a 12-year-old Animorph.
I had one principal I hated and one principal that I didn't really know much about, but he rollerbladed through school and that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's such a Yerk move.
Oh. Trying to blend in.
Yeah, really right. Covering. Yerks can't rollerblade. Yerks can't blade.
That's the thing though, Emily. Yerks can't that's blade. The thing. Yerks can blade.
No!
And that's why you can't trust anyone.
No!
I have a couple kissers for this episode. I was surprised by how much I learned rereading this book.
Oh, the animal facts.
About animals. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of great animal facts in here.
It would always be like, which is a type of iguana, as if you care.
Yeah.
Like you care.
Sorry I made you learn, asshole.
Again, there's a real confidence problem in the 90s. You had to like hedge everything in irony or sarcasm. it was like the bit about the anole and the way that they have like panoramic vision because they have eyes on the side of their head was really cool.
Oh yeah.
So like
I
they have
that.
No depth perception, but they have like, you know, like a wider range of vision to watch out for predators.
Also very nice hero's journey stuff to have Jake be struggling with like a very visceral cowardice and then the most important morph that he did. Like turning into the lizard to find out where the pool was, he turned into a very scared animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's the growth of him, his final form being that tiger and feeling confidence and feeling calm even in the face of danger.
It was cool. I think someone read Joseph Campbell.
Yeah, this was rad.
Whoever wrote Animorphs.
I think we should call it the Morpher's Journey from now on.
Morpher's Journey.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that.
I think what we what we need is a new series, exact same plot, except for with just some 30-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're just leaving work, going to happy hour, and Mandalite comes down.
But then it would be like 30-year-olds would just be like, "Oh, this is it's so awesome to be an animal. My body hurts as is.
That's true. Oh.
What a joy to turn into a bird and fly.
God,
my back hurts from a long plane ride.
I think I'd find out like that there were thousands of Yurks and be like, oh, there's nothing we can do. There's absolutely, guys. Let's just use our animals to escape.
I have to be honest.
Let's just be dolphins, guys.
Even now, I think if I found myself experiencing a UFO, someone comes out and is like, this is going on, I don't even think that I would be skeptical now.
Also, the fact that M would be so on board with it, I think we could still have our home life, because I think what would happen is we would probably just fight Yurks all the time as different animals.
Yeah.
And then I guess we wouldn't have time to be podcasters or anything anymore. So we'd have to steal stuff,
that's
I guess,
true.
But we could do that as like
so
birds.
If the podcast ever goes away,
it's because we're Animorphs.
We're Animorphs.
Well, we'll post a hiatus announcement.
Murph and Emily are gone.
Yurk invasion. Murph and Emily can no longer produce the podcast while they save the life for your fucking children.
I went over to Murph and Emily's house and there were two more cats than there used to be for some reason.
And they were standing on their hind legs.
Oh, day one, we just fall asleep as cats and become cats. And then someone comes to check on us and there's just two extra cats in our house. That's definitely a possibility.
I mean, it'd be cool to be a cat, but that'd be a real waste of the power.
Yeah, agreed.
It's also so funny because in all the descriptions they really take on the animal's personality, it would be like, okay, I'm a cat, it's midday. Oh, I
should grab a nap,
fucking take a nap. Oh, that was another great horror scene that we didn't talk about, when he was a lizard and the lizard instincts ate a spider and he didn't want to eat it.
Yeah.
And he basically described trying not to eat this spider and then against his like will swallowing this like writhing alive spider as a lizard.
That was fucked.
That was great.
And the only thing worse than swallowing a spider is eating broccoli.
Oh, there was a little broccoli hate. Ugh, it's going to be lunch.
That's my viscer. That's my viscer for this episode. Broccoli's pretty good. You just got to
like
season
broccoli.
It correctly.
Yeah.
It's got to be charred.
I feel like a rad 90s teen about it. I don't love it.
I like, you got to put it in the oven, put it on maybe like something in the 400s, cover it in tinfoil, and then at the end, you take the tinfoil off so you get like a little bit burned. Mm.
Yeah.
A little crisp on it.
A little crisp on it.
I don't think Jake's mom was going to these lengths.
Yeah.
Well, she's a busy writer.
That's true. She's busy keeping her children from watching TV.
I will say Kisser is definitely the last scene. As soon as Rachel turns into the freaking elephant, it's on.
Oh, that was
fucking the end of the book is
great.
A thrill ride. It's a thrill ride. It's a tearjerker for the bird
it's
boy.
It's a good setting for a final battle. It's just like descending into a cavern with like a writhing slug-filled pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poor Jake, he gets two losses back to back. Like, he loses his brother to the Yurks after almost rescuing him.
Wait, he loses his brother?
Yeah, they try to rescue Tom.
He doesn't die.
He's recaptured by
the
Yurks.
They lose him to the lose him to the Yurks.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool to end it on that cliffhanger.
That was a kisser for me because, you know, there's that whole like thing with Tom. It's like, oh, we're not as close as we used to be.
Yeah.
Tom's being an asshole to his brother. And then you find out that there's some people that are Yurks voluntarily. And then Jake is like, "What is Tom one?" And then they're like, "No, Tom fought really hard." So it's
that is such a wild scene because there's just people watching TV right next to Hork Bajir's.
Yeah, there were other Hork Bajir's like, that were down to get turned into Yurks, and they were all just watching TV together.
They're all just watching Everybody Loves Raymond together in this like fucking weird underground hot tub.
Which I guess the idea of signing yourself over to the Yurks would make sense in almost like a Squid Game way of like, I could see there being this weird upper class thing of like people getting like these like cushy rooms or something and treating it as some weird experience. But the idea that they're just in a separate cage watching TV, hearing people scream and they're fine is really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. all they get is like lazy boy chairs, and that's it.
Weird stuff.
Some would say that maybe the real Yerk is growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. That definitely felt like a theme in this, especially with Tom's journey. It was like, Tom doesn't like basketball anymore. He's just trying to help find out who set off fireworks at the construction site. He's just trying to help the cops.
That was so fun. Yep. All right, see you later. And remember, let me know if you hear anything about the construction site. Like, dude, you're a Yerk.
This is such Yerk behavior.
That was so it obvious.
Really is.
I hate that Yerk behavior is absolutely going to become part of my vocabulary.
just so obviously for some reason cares about searching for the kids who were seen at the construction site. Hey, dude, I'm just a regular ass 17-year-old. Little bro, did you hear anything about like some kids that were at the construction site? They were saying crazy stuff, like they saw a spaceship with some space worms. Isn't that weird?
Isn't that weird? You don't believe in UFOs,
do you?
Right? If you saw one, right? You would think that was like not a UFO, right?
Anyway.
Just looking for some confirmation.
Me and all of my friends are going to go eat hamburgers on the beach. Do you want to come?
Only a little bit of sand makes its way into the burger.
It's pretty funny. You're coming, right? Just perfect non-year.
Dude, we're all going to go skateboard around and report crimes.
Just like normal teenagers.
Want to come play volleyball and look out for miscreants?
And Marco's just like, this is normal. Yeah.
Shout out to the Marcos out there whose friends make them stronger. You can unleash the gorilla within you. I believe in you.
Wow.
Yeah. It is hard not to like Marco when he becomes a gorilla and starts punching people.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. He makes a lot of King Kong jokes.
That's true.
It is good character justification that his mom both drowned and the body
and disappeared.
Was never found.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? And let's end it there. We'll tease that. We will reveal what happened to Marco's mom over on the Patreon. We're going to be doing a little, we're going to be diving into the Animorphs lore and revealing some things.
Time to wander.
Wow. The wiki. Thank you guys all so much for listening. You can listen to that over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD don't sing yet.
Okay, fine.
And we've got some live shows to plug. You can get tickets to our live shows over on nadpod.com/live. We've got Portland on June 16th. We've got Los Angeles on June 17th. And we've got Vancouver on October 21st. Please check those out, nadpod.com/live.
Yes.
Anybody else got anything?
That was what I was going to say.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah, I'll third that. But also, I do have some juicy little bits and bobbins.
Please.
From the P.O. box that I'd like to discuss.
Oh, do share.
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of nice notes from folks. So I would love to highlight some of those, if that's all right.
Yes.
Mackenzie, whose sorority sister Emily met at a bar, said that she tried putting her dice in the moonlight, but unfortunately, all she got was a little crappy streetlight, and they rolled terribly.
Yikes.
So try again, I would say, Mackenzie. Try again.
Maybe it was a fun story that the dice came up with.
That's true. Oh, there you go. Maybe they blessed you in a way that you have not perceived
yet.
Anna sent us a note about how listening to the show helped them succeed during their first time playing D&D. So happy we could help you and be there in spirit, Anna. Let's see. Emily D. in Montreal sent us a nice note. So happy we could help you through tough times. Oh, and best of luck with your new career as a bioarchaeologist. Holy shit.
Oh, rad.
Oh, that's cool.
Let us know if you find any freaking cubes.
Yeah.
We need one.
That's true.
We need one. We need a morph.
We need one.
Yeah, if a cube crashed in like the 1800s, it could be buried by now.
Whoa.
We gotta find these cubes. There's sacred deep earth cubes out there. Let's see. Oh, we got a lovely handwritten note from Marge. Glad to hear your kids love Big City Greens. It's a very good show. Anna and Chris in Cass City sent us a save the date and a lovely note about how Anna was listening to our show on their way to their first date with Chris.
That is dope.
So nice. That's kismet for
sure. Wow. So actually we can take credit for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can decide if this wedding goes through or not, I think.
Amazing.
That's
cool.
What that means.
Yeah, we're allowed to object because we will be in the audience.
We will be in disguise, though. So please don't disturb.
I'll be a hawk swirling up in the sky.
I'll be a gorilla.
Yeah, they walk down, they're like, wait a minute, there's two gorillas. We only invited one.
I'll be a gorilla in like a really cute dress.
I'm going just to see that. I will, of course, be a dolphin. Theodore sent us a lovely note and a keychain from their home state of Oregon. Apparently, there's a state park there that looks exactly like the Crick, according to Theodore. So, gosh, I want to see that someday. Let's see. I got a couple more. I'm just burning through them all. Gig F, a.k.a. Giraffe and Goggles Art, sent us a nice note with some drawings of Mavris and the Triplets. Thanks, Gig.
Yeah.
Dylan, the manager of Circa, sent us a voucher to dine at the restaurant in Dublin. Ooh, we will have to go next time we are over there. We were in Dublin for, I think, not even 24 hours last time. So, next time, though. Let's see. Samantha sent us a save the date and individual notes. We're happy we could keep you in Blake company during the pandemic. Sorry you couldn't make it to the Dallas live show. Definitely next time. And last of all, a postcard from Maggie and Chandler in Colorado. Thank you so much for coming to our Seattle show. That is all of our notes. Thank you all so much for listening and sending things in. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Invite us to your weddings. We will come to one.
Yeah.
Sweet. And you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Ashford's Emily, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, and you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are.
The morphs of a nation. We are.
The morphs of a nation.
They made a book about a video game. Podcast about that book.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders, you benevolent little beauties. I'm talking about Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who is missing his own D&D game to go see NADPOD Live in LA. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Mr. Cole, Victor T, Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew A, Justin I, Ragnar Fairwind, TJ M, Trele the Crayfay, Jared E, Christopher B, Danielle R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Brian W, Vice President of Business Development of Shore Incorporated. Whew, that's a good one. Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B, Mike H, Martin P, Matthew E, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Crocoholic, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calders, Cold, Come, hashtag love to all my supporters. New York, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton the Mad Druid has been trying to undo his friend who's been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks, Foster, the original Boneless Duck, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Percival, Frederickstein, Von Musel, Klozowski, DeRolo the Third, Christian A, Olivia K, J Dragonborn, Joro the Inapropro, Liam D, the Sandrian, Ben A, Veldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfire's assistant Izzy F, Mark U, Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, Velaciraptor, Minette, the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Joshua D, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, the Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Telekitty Creations fan illustrator, Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K, AP.Cleric, Lori P, those who love and give where they can. Spam Gaming, who's just some guy, I guess. That's kind of an upgrade from being a not-so-good gamer. Grant L. Connor Savage. Christopher J. Pebblepot. What happens when you stand on a D4? Your foot takes 1D4 damage. Ooh, look at that. Salil. Leviathan. BioQuart 7. Remington CD. Amber Dextrous. Sullivan H. Trub Hopdropper. Sydney T. Jack H. Hi, my name is Brian Murphy. I wish I could tell you that I'm a golden finch, but I'm really just a dirty city pigeon. A4X, hashtag sexy saw slurping snitties. Garble the moist. Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner. Champ Wild, Balin. Sprite Pepsi, Carolyn C. Louis is your centaur dad. Emily S. Harry Cox. Allie, congrats on finishing your master's degree. Love you. Estelle, Justin L. Torley Skirmisher. Dandy, Ian D. Bunny, hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, hashtag neither did the robot dogs, hashtag frog pal and Claudius suck. Marco P. Pup Kalish, learns the balanced druid. Dakota James P. Frida M. Pagos, the self-proclaimed fae prince. Tracy P., the crick elf librarian. Friar Fizzit. Andy E., Holly Hyena, Anthony A., Kristen Z., Leah C., Paige H., Beatrix's beautiful baby batter, Pixel Stars, Kristen with a K, Cal supports Calder's cold come, hashtag stay strong, they can't stop us all, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, Zero Parity, the not so bad DM. Look at you. Good for you. Neos, the novice monster hunter. Some jerk named Simon. I dreamt he shouted at me that I should remember him and free him as if I knew who he was. Lorelei Frost, Morgan M., a peeling sticker. Stephen E., Mr. Adams. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. Hi, man, yeah, that's me. Cap'n Cappy. M4L, the dragon ambassador. Wayfarer, inventor of the SS Stormbjorn. Andrew B. Cope Fresh. Purple Good Barrel, barbarian and brewer emeritus of Waterdeep. Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S, Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money off all the duck team tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show, Boosley, the artificer, Michaela R, Albin's Alabaster Aftermath, hashtag come Muppets will rise, solemn sticky sauce, hashtag CCC double down, Calliope's Cumulo cum blast, hashtag CCC forever, Riley S, Sir Sig 93, Fico, Buckles and his ball gags. No one is cooler than Angry Wheat, especially not the front half of a horse costume. The game itself. Chaos Kumpf, a.k.a. I am a Smaffire. Shacked Eheron R. Tony G. Logan D. Anthony Dale Murphy Jr. would like to declare his full support of hashtag CCC and its derivatives. Josh H. Jack the Jax Jinx and Rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls. Sammy the Nico. Mango empanadas. Yum. After all that cum talk, I could still find mango empanadas sounding like a fun little dessert. And finally, Cora Bright. Thank you all so much. We love you. You make our show happen. Mwah, 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 mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.